You know, I can never say it enough when I speak to you and on occasion about remembering that first observance of unleavened bread, Passover, and how over the years I've found that each year, there is a level that is ratcheted up. And you will notice that your biggest trouble comes this time of the year. Satan is very busy. And so we will be busier. He will be busy trying to distract and do all the things that he thinks that will get you off track. But we know what will keep us on track. We as Christians can always look at any endeavor that we undertake as a journey. Just coming here today was a journey. How many stoplights did you stop at? How many things that you had to do between point A and point B? Because the things of God has tasked us with has a beginning and an end. You ever think about that? Everything we do has a beginning and an end. A cycle of growth. From baptism to the drawing of our last breath. God tells us to go forth and be fruitful. Not be rotting fruit on the vine. Not be a fruit that's lying on the ground. But to be fruitful. And that requires doing on your part. Standing guard. Doing those things that keeps you out of harm's way. When God says these words, what do they mean to you? Being fruitful. What do they mean? When our minds are open, we came to realize, because before we did not know, there are distinct kinds of fruit here on this earth. We learned about the fruit from the womb, until we were grown, about the things of men, the world, not telling the truth, cutting corners, because you know what? It's an easy way to get there. Being thoughtful, being kind, hold the door for someone instead of slamming it in their face when the guy's about 1 foot behind you. You ever have that happen? You walk in, you go in there, and you're right behind someone, and it just wham, wham, wham. You think about little things like that. Distinct kinds of fruit on this earth. Our minds are open. We realize that there's more to life than just this existence. The fruit that we've always known. The one that God outlines to us requires righteousness. And the other, from the God of this world, requires sin. He wants you to take those shortcuts. He wants you to be the rotten fruit that's hanging on a tree. Have you seen fruit like that? Have not hit the ground, but yet still hanging, but rotten? But of course, you see the rotten fruit that's laying on the ground. But as I mentioned, we know the fruits of the world, and we know the fruits of God. And so we are given a choice. Each year, during these days of unleavened bread, we begin to make an active choice of whether to undertake this journey, abstaining from leavening products, abstaining from the spiritual things that will puff you up, and apply the principles of God that flows from his throne through Jesus Christ. Each year, our journey is renewed. And sometimes we reflect, which we should, and say, did we or did I forget something? And you would think, I had an epiphany last year, right there in my face, an aha moment, and it went away. How much attention did you pay to that? Did we forget something? Did we forget some details? Did we forget some things that would enhance our knowledge base as a Christian? God says in Psalm 103 and verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Forget not those benefits. Do we think about that when we're off track? That's why we're here today. That's why we sat here at Passover, to reaffirm, recommit to the true purpose of our lives, which is to be a Christian follower of Christ, never forgetting those benefits the Father has given us. And as Mr. Tabor was mentioning about those miracles, those little intricate things that are in our lives that sometimes only we can see. And a lot of times we don't even mention them to our spouse, about the little things that go on in us and how God deals with us. And then God tells us about those things that's coming in the future. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. We read in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. Test all things. Now you go back to that swinging door. Did it go through your mind that if I see that guy walking through here, I'm going to slam the door in his face too? Did that thought go through your mind? Or did you just shut that off? And a lot of times you would think, oh, he was in a hurry. Think nothing of it. But we as human beings, taking of that fruit of this land, take offense easily. Now, what does God tell us about slow to anger, holding your peace? This is about these benefits that God imparts to us, that he has taken you and put you in this special little place. Men can still see you, but they don't know what is being poured within you. They see these things, not letting go. Always having a firm grip on that knowledge that God has imparted to us, that it will be a lifelong hold. How strong is your grip? Weak? Because we cling to Jesus Christ's robe. You reach out and you grab that. Then you hold it. And you go before God's throne and says, I'm here because of your son. I'm here because I've listened to him. He is my intercessor. In Deuteronomy 13 and verse 4, it says, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him, hold fast to him. Again, going back to the beginning of these writings about commitment, holding fast, no matter the circumstances. But living in this world is not easy. Living in this world is not easy. For in this world is the standard sinful pitfalls at every turn. And this is why the Father, through his Son, has sent to us these words of advice, that we hold on to them firmly. Matthew 7, verse 13, it says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. and there are few who find it. We've been given an opportunity to be that few. Now, some of your brethren who are sleeping at this time have walked this walk. We are walking our walk, seeing what unfolds before us, because each day is new. It's different. Different feel, different smell, different taste. But are we looking for more than just that physical leavening that earn our lives to get rid of? For us, it's a combination of the physical and the spiritual. The spiritual things we must be aware of, because they also present themselves. In our walk, God wants to know. Thing comes to us. A lot of things he stop, a lot of things he allow. He wants to know. Are you building those basic building blocks of a Christian who is going to be in his family? Not in word only, because men will only remember you by what you do, not what you say. Period. The pitfalls are many, and the Father wants us to be prepared. In our journey today, we'll look at a couple of obvious and not so obvious roadblocks that derails our growth as we attempt to move forward in this 7-day journey of unleavened bread. But we can always thank God with his awesome power that he's given us, that's going to expand our knowledge. So what are some of these things that can derail our growth? There are many as we enter this journey. The Father had purposely planned for us in this holy day season. But in our journey today, we'll look at two. One of them is spiritual blindness. The world can't deal with this because they don't know what that is. We know what it is. And two, bearing the wrong fruit. For your notes today, the title of this message is The Feast of Unleavened Bread, The 7-Day Journey. In the Harper's Bible Dictionary, it speaks about blindness in it, and it speaks about two types of blindness. One that deals with malaria, and the other is a infectious disease caused by the dirt and dust and the glare that was just common back in those days. Jesus Christ's ministry, and Mr. Tabor kind of touched on a little bit, was daily in touch with the afflicted, the blind, sitting along the highway of Palestine. And he devoted much of his ministry to healing them. How many instances can you think of where he did this? Now, in the New Unger's Bible Dictionary, it speaks about spiritual blindness as the state affecting truth. Something to ponder. Because when you speak about spiritual blindness, that affects the truth. And Satan will pull out all the stops. And as I mentioned, he will take good things and turn them against you to turn you against God. I had a friend, loved her to death until her death. She was always the giver. And she gave. And she gave. And I would say, stop. That's enough. No. I'm going to give some more. And some more. And some more. And I will be offended if you don't take it. You know, just take a simple, godly thing is giving. As Mr. Armstrong mentioned years ago, the way of give. And turn that around. Where I'm going to give until it hurts. This is the things that we need to be aware of and why we need to have balance in our lives. According to the fruits of the Spirit, everything we do, balance. Now let's read in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3, because when it speaks about affecting the truth, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3, it says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. You know, at this time, God is leaving the veil upon their hearts in many of this world. But he's reserved a few. That's you who will hear. And where that veil is lifted to perform a work at this time. There are numerous scriptures we can look to about the world being blinded under the sway of Satan. And most notably under John 8 verse 44. John 8 verse 44, you are of your father the devil. That's what he's telling the world, because they're doing his bidding. He was a murderer from the beginning. Does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Colossians 1 and verse 13. For those of you who were not raised in the church, can you see yourself with that veil draped over you before you were called out of it? Think back in all those things that had gone before your mind was opened. I do. And I think about three or four occurrences that over those years that where I should have been dead physically. Not knowing anything before I was called. But our God is merciful. He is a loving God. And when he reserves those whom he picks, whom he chooses, he hovers over them like a mother hen over her chicks. Keep them safe, making sure that they have the things that will give them life. But most of all, there is work to be done here. Training for you. Because you can't know him. And he and Christ had decided before anything was created that he was not going to just pour that in you and you would instantaneously know it. No. He's given us a timeline to walk, to know. Our minds to be exercised. You ever wonder why we have pain? Why we have pain? Life would be so much better without it. But you have it for a reason. What did we talk about the other night? Jesus Christ. A man marred more than any man on the face of this earth. The pain he suffered. And Christ said, if you love me, they will hate you too. And some of our brethren have, in times of old, suffered that pain. Suffered horrendous pain. And so we walk this earth thanking him for everything he brings to us, that we know his intent. And yes, it would be so easy if we go to our prayer concert, God, it would just been so easy if you'd have just poured this in me. This is my trail of tears. 30, 40 years of pain, of looking at, I can't make it. What is wrong with me? We're all broken vessels that God will heal. And only he is able to do that. This is what we battle each day. Knowing that that veil is there. The world can't see it. But Satan, trying every trick in the book to lure you back to the darkness. How many do you know that have gone back to the darkness. This is why we recommit Passover. And now we take this 7-day journey to refresh our minds and to build our hearts in the way that spiritual darkness does not consume us, that we're not deceived. Satan is the most powerful thing that the God family had created. We don't know anything of him and his power other than what they tell us. But he is powerful. We can't stand in his wake. And God knows that. This is why he put a hedge around us. Go back to the book of Job. You got that hedge around him. Well, see, he noticed. He noticed. Because we can't stand the whirlwind that he will create. And he knows that. We're just physical human vessels. Flawed. And those things of spirit, we have no concept. None. Other than what they tell us. Can't fight them. And this is why we go to our prayer closet and we cry out to God to shield us from them. Strength of mind that we can continue to do his will. But just stop and think for a second. His radio is on, continually plays. He could fill our heads with so much noise, we would not know where God is. Period. But God says he has made a way for us. He has cut a path through this darkness that we can see that light. And in that light, it shields us from that darkness. We thank him every single day that this is possible. I do remember a minister who was driving from Texas coming back to California, and it would have been so easy for them to die on that trip because embedded in one of their tires was a 10-penny nail. Now you're doing what, 75, 80 miles an hour? You lose that, you're dead. Get home. He said, look at that. Power of our great God to keep us safe, period. How many times have you had a brush with that going to your last breath? Can't praise God in the grave. Cannot do it there. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. Ephesians 2 and verse 1 and says, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the way of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. He's a puppet master. Isn't that what we did? He's pulling the strings. And we're moving. And we're jumping. Until God opens our mind and says, you don't have to do that anymore. That's not needed. And to make the point more vivid. Just because of our physicalness. Our scientists today have discovered that your human eyeball, and I saw it for myself, your human eyeball has a blind spot, dead center. I said, what is that? Am I going blind? He said, don't worry about that. He said, everybody's got that. Blind spot, dead center. That's why when your eyes focus, it looks around. You would never know it. And that's just physical. That's just physical. There's a lot of things that our God has not told us about ourselves and about things, spiritual things too. But salvation involves the taking away of that veil. Spiritual blindness extends to the carnal Christians. Yielding to sin on a part of the believer, of failing to walk, which we do. We have our moments. We're not perfect, and we have things inherently wrong with us. And this is why we go to our prayer closet. God, take it away. Apostle Paul, you look at all those guys, and I go back, and it reminds me of Jeremiah, young guy, and how he was filled with God's Spirit and His words. God wanted to know. And so those old evil men did a lot of evil things to Jeremiah. They did some horrendous things to him. And so he got mad. And he said, God, I will not say another word about you. Not another. And you read in your scripture where it says that he could not do it. He couldn't do it. God wanted to know. When he said those words, I will not speak another word. He said, okay, let's see. Let's see. He couldn't do it. He could not do it. Could that be us? That we get so mad that we go in our prayer closet, that God, I can't take this anymore. You need to fix me a new route. God says, no, there's nothing wrong with the route you're on. It's broken. When am I going to stop looking at these potholes? God wants to know. He wants to know about our discernment in situation. This is why we're on this walk. I've known a lot of the brethren who we visit over the years, and we go visit them. Well, some don't live here. It's, oh, we're going to go to such and such restaurant. And so on said, yeah, you check the menu. They have a lot of things on that menu. Did you call them? Well, no. Please call them. We need to know. We need to know. And so discernment. Is that hamburger popping up in your head right about now? Going to your favorite eatery down here? There's nothing but bread. Filled with bread. As you know, we could go all year. And invariably, every time. Now is when it starts. Hamburgers. Over here, over there. You know, I had all year to do this. Now I'm getting flooded with this. Our discernment, making choices, making it work for us. Every single year, it never gets easy. Never. And sometimes I've told God, God, it's hot in here. If you get any hotter, my house is going to burn down. Don't worry. Here comes a breeze. And we stop and we have this kind of relationship with God, personal, with He and His Son, making this work for us, Him giving us the opportunity to yield to Him. Satan's always taught you, no. You ever see those kids that are come out of the womb fighting? You could have two kids, and you could have twins, polar opposites. One's all nice and docile, and yes, Mom. Yes, Dad. Little Johnny. Just full of it. But that's what we do here in this world. Satan takes advantage of that. And so we must yield to walk in the light at all times. Because if we drop our head and you look up, where's the light? Shouldn't that tell you something? Don't drop your head. Continually look for the light. But Satan would say, take a break. You've been staring at that light too long. Just take a break. And we do, and we get lost. Then we have to fight our way through traffic to get back on the road. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 6. This talks about wisdom. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 6. We'll read down through verse 16. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as is written, eyes not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. He gives us a peripheral right now, but the real things are we'll get later. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the spiritual God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. As we walk this journey of unleavened bread, we're given the thoughts of Jesus Christ, our bread of life, who helps us to prevent spiritual blindness in our lives as we continually ask more of the Father, more of his Spirit, to be worthy in his eyes. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 2 and verse 5, it says, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. But if we walk in the light, 1 John 1 and verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So as we see the light, we must not shy away from it, meaning conforming to the ways of this world. We know what is required, and we continue to walk in that light no matter the circumstances. The next pitfall, as we take this seven-day journey, bearing the wrong fruit, another part of our nature that we battle each and every day, as we stand before God as forgiveness for that sin that's still in us, causing us to let that bitter fruit come to life. All it takes is a second for it to become full bloom. We've seen for ourselves, as God has made it known to us through his word, the original plan for success in the sight of God. But let's go back to the book of Genesis. Genesis 1, verse 27. Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male, female. He created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over the sea and over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. We continue to show the world and each other by our actions, not our words. Because the words, the fruit you should bear, we do find pause in our lives, especially now, making a journey of these 7 days of unleavened bread. What are we showing the world? What do they see? You know, they have this, and most of you should know this, about Facebook. And they have a section in there where you can actually go and look at what the world sees on your Facebook page. You tailor that to what it looks like. We as Christians are not Facebook. We're Christians. We have our own section in our lives where we show the world who we are and what we do. A lot of people hide things. They put different things there. But God tells us, when I grew up, they had a term for us kids. It says, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. They're looking for the deed. Even our children. Proverbs 20 and verse 11. Proverbs 20 verse 11, it says, even a child is known by his deeds, whether that he does is pure and right. And even now the axe is laid to the root of trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Matthew 3:10. Are we growing that tree? Because if I read this correctly, there could possibly be an angel there with an axe in his hand who's ready to cut these trees down. Put the axe to the root. Throw it in the fire. Isn't that what God tells us? Burned up works. Foundations moved. That which we thought is not there. Those knocking at the door. Christ saying, I don't know you. And if we are good stewards and looking to our God, reaping what you sow. Isaiah 3 and verse 10. Isaiah 3 and verse 10 says, say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given. Powerful words. And if we understand that, chilling word for us, knowing the difference and not doing it. Sow for yourselves righteousness, Hosea 10, verse 12. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord. Till he comes and rains righteousness on you, you have plowed wickedness. You reaped iniquity. Eaten the fruit of lies. Because you trusted in your own ways, in the multitude of men. We ask God for forgiveness, that we continually focus on the light, that he is ever so merciful, that he loves us. You think God laughs? You think they would say, come over here. Look at him. There he goes again. You think we need to swat him side the head one more time? Or kick in the rear? This is what we do. And of course, we have Christ who stands to God's right hand, who is our intercessor. And he tells God the Father, don't worry about him. I'll take care of him. He'll be okay. And God said, I kid, just can't understand him. Look at that. But they laugh. He put things in us that are in them about our very nature, about how we get joy from being with each other. Now we sit and we laugh, think on things about God, love him in his way, talk about the pitfalls and how he will bring us through. But it says in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 3, for you are still carnal, where there is envy and strife, division among you, behaving like mere men. For when one says, I am of Paul, and another says, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Paul and Apollos are just men that God poured his knowledge through, that men could know him. Other than that, no, nothing else. Because they needed changing too. It's like, I am a minister. I need changing too. I need to hear the words that will change my life as yours are changed. Christ says, I am the true vine, my Father the vine dresser. John 15, verse 1. Every branch in me does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. There's a pain. You know, it was proven many, many years ago. We were on an excursion up in Flagstaff, and we were just watching this channel one night. This was years ago, of how they proved. And they did it with some light of how plants feel. And they did something. They was snipping at that plant, and that, and it just drew back. It just drew back of how that plant was reacting to pain. But God says, we flourish when he prunes us. We become stronger. Our roots become stronger. And so in a sense, I know what it's like when I trim my plants, give my haircut back to nothing. They're screaming at me. Oh, don't do that. But they just blossom. They just come more. It just comes out. But we can't do anything without the vine. Nothing. And Christ makes it clear that he is the vine, the Father, the vine dresser. And through him, we are the little buds that sticks out. We derive life from them. And those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. We read in Psalms 92 and verse 13. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree will bear bad fruit. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be planted by the waters. It spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear. When the heat comes, his leaves will be green and will not be anxious in the years of drought, nor will it cease from yielding fruit. Through the Father's love and care, our eyes are open to his way. And we stand guard that no man deceives us of the way. In Galatians 5 and verse 22, you know the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It says against that there is no law. And those who are of Christ have crucified the flesh with his passion and desires. And so we're given a choice. We're given a choice in each year as these days of unleavened bread begins. We make that choice and undertakes this journey and apply the principles of God that flows from his throne through Jesus Christ to us. Each year, our journey is renewed. What did we find out of place this year? Did we forget some details from last year? It's quite easy for us frail human beings to forget things. This is why we must rehearse time and time over to the length of our lives. No matter, righteousness and overcoming stays in the forefront of our minds. If nothing else, we cling to every word that God has for us. For we know this. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 25. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 25. For the Lord is great, greatly to be praised. He also to be feared above all gods. The Lord is great and the great King above all gods. Psalm 95, verse 3. For you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Psalm 97, verse 9. And that being true in our spiritual lives, the fruit from our lives will be rich and plentiful in our walk on this earth. Thanking our Father by the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, we are enriched thoroughly and have need of nothing. So as we journey these 7 days, fully practicing the removal of sin, with reflection and the help of our Father and his Son, we will have a successful journey if we allow our God to intervene in our lives fully. And our joy for this way of life will be further enhanced.